seated. Would take your Bibles. I invite you to turn to John chapter 20, the 20th chapter in the Gospel according to John. And as you're turning there, we're coming to the close of that chapter and to the close of the Gospel according to John. What we see in chapter 20 is the purpose that John is writing. At the end, he basically just tells us why he is writing. Notice what it says in verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. There's a lot of things that weren't recorded, but these are written. Here's the reason he wrote: that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Here is the whole thrust of John's writing, is that people might believe Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And that believing you might have life through His name. And right before these verses, I want you to notice, John gives us an example of one believing and has life in his name. I want you to notice in verse 19. We read this portion last week. Once we get to verse 24, there is a new portion, but I want to keep it in the context so you can follow along. In verse 19, the Word of God says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Now Jesus had been crucified 3 days before. It is a Sunday evening. The disciples are all assembled together, minus a couple. And Jesus appears to them. And when he has so said, "Peace be unto you," he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. I want to pause here for a moment. We'll get right back in the text. The Word of God says something about one of the apostles that the Word of God don't say a lot about. There are 12 different mentions about Thomas. Little is known about him. Most people, when you think of Thomas, you think of what? Doubting Thomas. He just got that nickname somewhere down through the centuries. But his name literally means twin. Thomas means twin. And yet what we find in verse 24, his name's also called Didymus, which means twin. That means he had a twin, probably. Might have been a brother, might have been a sister. We don't know. We don't even know if the twin's still living at this time. We just don't know much about Thomas. We find him in chapter 21. He's fishing with the other disciples. Maybe before the Lord called him, he was a fisherman. But we speculate. We just don't know. He only appears in 12 verses, three times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in those three mentions, he's mentioned with the other apostles. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 3, we find Thomas is in the upper room where the disciples are gathered. 8 times he's mentioned in the Gospel of John. One time in chapter 11 and verse 16. One time in chapter 14 and verse 5. One time in John 21, verse 2. And 5 times in the text we're looking at right now. I want you to notice a little bit about Thomas in the little bit that's mentioned. Look back in chapter 11 and down in verse 16. In John chapter 11 and verse 16, Jesus is about to go raise Lazarus from the dead. And in verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now that's all that's said concerning Thomas in that context. You can read this in such a way that Thomas was one that was courageous. He believed they were going to kill Jesus. Let's go with him. I want you to notice in John chapter 14, in verse 5. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, he told them he was going to prepare a place for them. And he says he was going to come again, he was going to receive them to himself. That where he was, they're going to be also. And the way, whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Then Thomas spoke up. Now Thomas speaks up asking a question. Thomas is inquisitive. Thomas don't fully understand at this point. But I want you to notice he's a thinker. He's one that contemplates. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? That's all in that context. Thomas asks the Lord a question. He's inquiring. So by the time we get to John chapter 20, we know a little bit about him. He seems to be courageous. He seems to be inquisitive. He thinks. But I want you to notice in John chapter 20, he's absent. 3 days later, our Lord's resurrected. He's risen from the dead. That evening, on a Sunday evening, he appears to his disciples. And you remember, he missed that gathering. Don't think Thomas was the only one doubting. You remember what it said back in verse 19. The ones that were gathered together, they were gathered together behind a locked door, fearing. They were scared. So they also had doubts. Thomas wasn't the only one doubting. The Lord appeared to them, and when they saw him, saw the scars, they knew it was the Lord, and they were glad. Thomas hadn't seen yet. So Thomas is the greatest doubter after they see and they believe. But they still have some fear going on there. Think what else is going on in Thomas's mind. He had just seen, 3 days before, the Lord brutally tortured and murdered, taking the form that was hard to even recognize he was a human being. He knew that was his Lord. He saw him die. His hopes died. No doubt Thomas is discouraged. Jesus was his hope. His hope is gone. If you had seen the Lord upon the cross at that time, I'd say a few days later, if you did not have understanding of the resurrection, you would be very downcast. You would be very discouraged. You'd be depressed. You'd have a lot of doubts going on in your mind. Thomas missed that first meeting. And we mentioned this last Sunday, and oftentimes we will See, many people miss church. There are times when we gather together as God's people, as the body of New Life Baptist Church. There are times, and confirm this with me, there are just times you can really sense the presence of God. If one misses, in a sense, they miss, like what Thomas missed, they miss the very presence of God visiting with us. Thomas missed the power of the Lord appearing in a room out of nowhere, going through a closed door. He missed the peace that was spoken to the other disciples because he didn't meet with them. He missed that commission. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. He missed that blessing. You know what? There's a lot of people miss church, and they're very flippant about it. Thomas had gone through some struggles. Everybody's personality is a little different. But you know what? There's some people that miss church, and they don't even give the Lord second or third place. If something else were to come up besides something that makes them miss church, if the second or third thing come up, they'd probably miss church about that too. Which is sad when the Lord does not rank preeminent in His people's lives. He desires to be preeminent. He deserves to be preeminent. And we ought to make Him preeminent in our lives. Many people give many excuses. There, as a matter of fact, years ago, there was the old gospel song, "Excuses, Excuses." You hear them every day. You know what? If I went around the room and asked you to give me an excuse, everybody can come up with an excuse. But you know what? An excuse most times is just a lie wrapped up in something that looks good. God's called us to faithfulness, each and every one of us. And it's not an option as a child of God. He commands us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. When you forsake that, you miss out. And if you're depressed and you miss out, you know what happens? You probably will become more depressed. I read an illustration of a church many years ago. Before they had electricity, they had lamps. Every member of the church was given a lamp. They didn't put up lights in the church. And when you came to church, you brought your lamp. Therefore, at nighttime, when you had your lamp, you'd light up your little corner of church. If you weren't there, you know what? The church was a little bit darker. We're about to move into a new building. How'd y'all like to have lamps? Oh, just a thought, just a thought. Yeah, we would. I'm sure we have a brother or sister that can help you carry one, Brother Roger. In John chapter 20, and verse 25, I want you to notice that verse 24, Thomas was not there when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, when they see Thomas, they start telling Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." And that's literally in a continual sense. They keep telling him. The other apostles are telling Thomas, "We've seen him, we've seen him." And these are the ones that he walked with for 3 years. They're saying it over and over, and they're saying, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas says unto them, now these are men he trusted, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side," I want you to notice what it says, "I will not believe." Thomas says, and in the Greek, it's a double negative. It's literally saying, I will no not believe. He's emphasizing, I'm not going to believe unless I can touch him. Now, we know a double negative makes a positive in our English language, but that ain't the way it is in the Greek. It's emphasizing. He's being dogmatic is what he's doing. Thomas has doubts, even when the apostles are telling him, we've seen the Lord. Where does such doubt come from? Do you ever have doubts? If you're human, you've got doubts at times, or had doubts through your life. Where does the doubts come from? Let me give you some possibilities of where doubts may come from. Remember, all the disciples fled and left our Lord. Some people, because of the makeup of their personality, when they fail in life and they fail the Lord, they become depressed. It almost seems like Thomas is one of those that believes Murphy's Law. You know what Murphy's Law is. If anything can go wrong, it'll go wrong. And it'll happen right now. There was a week or two there, I was getting that hit at me. I was sick and got a ticket and got a something else. I'm just going like, okay. That wasn't the Murphy's Law, but that was the Lexington Law that got me. In our weakness, if we fail, if we stumble into temptation or stumble into sin, it's easily to get discouraged or even depressed. Another thing that can cause discouragement is that when you miss fellowshipping with the saints, as God has commanded us to, if you're not around godly fellowship, let me tell you, the world will bring you down. And if you listen to the counsel of the world, the talk of the world, the advice of the world, that's enough to get you depressed. I want y'all to notice my hand is connected to my arm. Wait a minute, everybody. See? If my hand was not connected to my arm, it would not be able to do that, would it? You know what? We're a body. A body of believers. We encourage one another. We edify one another. We build one another up. If you are not around the body, you're not going to function like you normally would. I will not encourage you to do this at home, but try chopping your hand off and see if it still works. Ain't going to work. Not unless it's something like the Adams family. What is it? That's thing, isn't it? The thing. Watch that thing. Yeah, that's not how God has made us. We're a body. Some people are hands, some people are feet, some people eyes, some people ears. Ear can't say that, I don't have no need of you. Take that. It won't reach. I was going to slap my eye with it. It's getting bigger, but it ain't done it yet. When we forsake the assembling of ourselves, and you know, I've talked to people who've gone through depression, believers, and what happens, they isolate themselves. When you're depressed and you isolate yourself, there's a lot of times depression will make you that way. You just don't want to talk to anybody, don't want to see anybody, don't want to be around anybody. There's times you've been like that. Let me tell you, the worst thing you can do is isolate yourself. Believers need one another. Thomas, we don't know where he was at, but he wasn't where he was supposed to be. In verse 19. Therefore, we know He has doubts. We know he's discouraged. Some people have doubts and discouragement and despondency because of an overabundance of things that continually happen in their life that's negative. And because they don't have a close walk with the Lord, it's easy to bring you down and get discouraged. And questions come in your mind. Doubts come in your mind. Where's God? With Thomas, it is quite obvious he did not have all the understanding that he needed. And when you don't understand the situation, you don't fully see the full picture, it's easy to have doubts. It's easy to get discouraged. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were Thomas at this point? 3 days before you'd seen the Lord crucified? That's hard for us to comprehend. Though at times I've tried to bring out that crucifixion vividly so you could see how the Lord physically suffered for us. 8 days have passed by now. That was Sunday evening, 3 days right after he was crucified. He's risen. That evening, he shows himself to all but Thomas. 8 days later, the Word of God says that the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We've seen the Lord." Now they've gathered together again, and notice it's Sunday night again. Thomas expresses why he's having doubts. "I'm not going to believe unless I can touch him." Sometimes we have doubts. A lot of times we have doubts when we think things are not going the way we think they ought to go. Hear me clearly. That's a mouthful. When we don't think things are going like we think things ought to go, we have doubts about God. Let me tell you something. Things don't always go in life like we want them to go. There are times God is so much above our ways we cannot comprehend. That's where your faith has got to come in play. The solution is pretty easy as far as in this passage of Scripture with Thomas. He didn't assemble with the disciples when they assembled, and here, 8 days later, he's with them. So notice what happens. And after 8 days again, his disciples were with him. That means they're in a closed room. And Thomas is with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. And he said the same thing he did the first time. "Peace be unto you." Wow. He appears a second time. He meets with his disciples. If Thomas had not assembled, he'd missed another blessing, wouldn't he? What Jesus does, after he says, "Peace be unto you," he repeats in verse 27 exactly what Thomas said in verse 25. He knows each and every one of us by name. That's a comforting thought. Notice what he says in verse 27. "Then said he to Thomas, reach hither your finger and behold my hands. And reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Jesus is coming to where Thomas is at. Our Lord Jesus meets us right where we are. In the midst of his doubting, the Lord could have left him to himself. But notice the Lord came to him. You know, the same principle. God could leave you to yourself, and He'd be just in doing that. But He comes to us in grace. And He pours out grace upon grace. And as His grace comes to where you are, notice Thomas is full of doubt. He says, I'm not going to believe unless I touch Him. Jesus says, touch me. Put your hand in the scars, in the deep wound. As Thomas, I'm sure, is very taken aback. I want you to notice the Word of God doesn't say anything about Thomas putting his hand in the scars or in his side. Thomas saw and believed. Notice what Jesus said to him in verse 29. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. It doesn't say, Thomas, because you touched me, you believed. He says, because you've seen me, you have believed. God's grace comes to us by convicting us of our sinfulness. God's grace comes to us by granting repentance. We turn from our sinfulness. And God's grace keeps coming to us when we, by faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's not by cleaning up your act. There's a lot of people I talk to in witnessing. Well, I need to get certain things out of my life before I come to church. You know what? You can't get enough out of your life before you come to church. You can't clean yourself good enough. You can take a wire brush and scrub yourself. You ain't going to clean yourself good enough for the Lord. Because sin is inside. It's a sinful heart. That's what needs changing. It's the outside needs cleaning first. That's what people don't understand. Jesus told Thomas, don't be a pistuo, but be pistuo. Don't be without faith, but have faith. Simply believe is what Jesus tells Thomas. Notice Thomas confesses, my Lord and my God. You notice here Jesus does not rebuke him. And Thomas is not saying some slang language like those who want to try to discredit the deity of Christ, like saying, oh my God. He's not being using the Lord's name in vain, like some cults would say. What he's acknowledging is that Jesus Christ is Lord and He is God. Doubts will come. You know what? No matter how long you live, you're going to have some doubts every now and then. In my young Christian walk, when I first moved up here, I encountered some Jehovah's Witnesses. And you know what? They can twist Scripture. And if you're not grounded in Scripture, they can just about make you believe that Jesus was created by twisting Scripture. They planted some doubts in my mind. But you know what that made me do? It made me dig in the Word a little bit deeper. And the more I dug deeper, the more I stand where I stand today when I talk to Jehovah's Witness, I take the verses they twist and go to them and them only. I just simply talk to them about the deity of Christ. Because if you don't believe Jesus Christ is God, you're going to split hell wide open even if you don't believe in hell. That don't change the reality of hell. So if we don't agree on hell, I mean on Jesus Christ as being God, it doesn't matter. If we talk about hell or heaven or anything else, you got to get right with Christ. And once you have faith in Christ, then we can talk about the other issues because then you believe the Word of God. So I encourage you, if you talk to Jehovah's Witness or any other cult, stick with Christ. The truth about Christ, which is what cults do, they deny the deity of Christ. Doubts will come. But what does Jesus encourage Thomas to do? Don't be faithless. Just simply believe. You know what that means? Simply trust Him. Trust what He says. Trust who He says He is. And keep on trusting. Even when you have doubts, you know what you can trust? There might be somebody that might say, if only I could see Him. If only I could touch Him. You know what? Jesus has a word for you. Notice what it says in verse 29. Jesus said to Thomas, because you've seen Me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Though we've seen Him not, we love Him. We believe. You can't see Jesus Christ right now with your physical eyes. But we, by faith, believe. I would encourage you to behold the Lamb of God, the sinless Savior, who took upon Himself our sin. Then I would tell you to behold yourself. Look at yourself. Look at your sin. You're in need of the sin-bearing Savior. Who then we become the righteousness of God in Him. What Christ did for us, He took our sins that we might have His righteousness imputed to our account. What a blessing that is. When you think of God's Word, here is a very simple passage of Scripture, Thomas missing out. And then Thomas going where he's supposed to be. And he acknowledges the sovereignty and the deity of Christ. Have you bowed before Him? Have you trusted Him? Do you believe? Do you have doubts? Be not faithless, but believing. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, there are times in our lives where we must cry out, Lord, help my unbelief. We know Thomas went through some traumatic experience as well as the other disciples. Very traumatic. And Lord, as You spoke to them, You continue to speak Your Word to our hearts today. Be not faithless, but be believing. Lord, may those words ring true in our heart. That we believe in You. Work effectually, work mightily. As only You can, for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to